Shimmer, would you open us for a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. May be seated unless you have a birthday or an anniversary. Anybody? Oh, I've got an anniversary. Anybody else? All right, let's see. Happy anniversary. How many years? 21 plus years today. Yeah. Let's sing happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Who's standing? No, I'm teasing. It's great to be married 41 years. I was talking with Brother Price, and he said, you know, the next 20 is going to go really fast. And I said, you know, since 25, they've gone really fast. It's just click, click, click. And so, anyhow, from our bulletin today, today is Father's Day, and you have a father who's not here. You ought to call him, let him know how much you appreciate him. Teen cleaning will take place Friday at 1 o'clock here at the church. And Vacation Bible School will be July 18th through 21st. Looking forward to that. We have a church cleaning schedule out on the back table. If you'd be interested in volunteering to help clean the church, that would be great. We try to assign two couples at a time or two families at a time. Just makes it go faster and easier. And then Independence Day, not far away, July 4th, we are going to be having our evening. We'll have the regular morning service, and then the evening service will take place out at the Fosters, okay? And part of that's so that the city kids want to get fireworks and blow them off. They can out there and so forth. But we'll start at 6 o'clock with eating, and then at 7 o'clock we'll have a church service, and then stick around, have the night displays, encourage you to plan to be with us. YouthCon's coming up. Kids already signed up for that, August 3rd through 6th. You might be praying for them. And then prayer needs, ask that you remember to pray for all these that are listed here. Also, if you would, add to that Zach Hornick. Brother Zach's been having some numbness on one side of his body. They've ruled out stroke. Praise the Lord. But it'd be great if they figure out what it is so that they could help get that taken care of. And then pray for Miss Carrie. She's going to have surgery in July. I believe it's July 21st. Going to have a hip replacement and an honoriness cleanup. And so you'd be praying for her as... Yeah, don't look at us like that, Miss Carrie. We all know. We all know. But you'd be praying for her. I know she'd appreciate those prayers also. It's good to be in the Lord's house and to be together this morning. I'm going to have Brother Charlie come back and lead us in another song, and then we'll have our Sunday school time. Brother Charlie.
So I'll take your hymn. I'll turn to hymn number 66. That Calvary. We'll sing the first and the last.
Years I spent in vanity and I'm
Today we're going to have Brother James come and teach the class. We've got Brother Foster's class and Brother Marcus's class all together today, and both of them are gone over the holiday here. And so Brother James is going to teach Brother Marcus's class. I asked him if he wouldn't mind just go ahead and teach Brother Foster's class. We know and love Brother James. I appreciate his faithfulness, not only to church, but his faithfulness to the Lord and his study. And we always have something we get fed by. And so I'm glad to have Brother James teach his class this morning.
Love you, friend.
Me too.
Those is a lot of nice words, preacher. I'll have to pay you later. Luke chapter 15 is where we'll be this morning. Luke chapter 15, my favorite portion of scripture in the Bible, the story of the prodigal son. I'll let you guess why it's my favorite. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 11 here. We'll try not to get too preachy. I don't do a lot of just teaching Sunday school classes, and so we'll see how this goes. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me of the portion of goods that follows to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what things these meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into the lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for what it symbolizes and what we celebrate today on Father's Day. I pray that you would bless the lesson this morning. Help us to learn something from your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. I have probably preached 20 sermons out of this passage of scripture. I like it a lot. I was just reading it just now, just reading through it, and I saw something. I thought, man, that would be good. It has nothing to do with the lesson this morning, but there's a sermon right there. There's so many different applications in this passage of scripture that we can apply to our lives at no matter what stage of life you're in. If you're a father, if you're a son, if you don't have any parents, or I guess everybody has a parent, but if you don't have any children, there's the son here. I just noticed here that as the second son wouldn't go in, what did the father do? He came out again. Now, he wasn't just like he treated that one son a certain way. When the second son was having problems, the father came out and searched him out and came to see what his need was as well. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, there's something in this passage of Scripture for everybody. And this morning, and I realize not everybody in here is a father. Half of you are women, so you're not fathers either. But there's something in here for all of us, and what I want to look at today is the comparison between a father's love and our Heavenly Father. Because hopefully here today, everybody is a Christian, is a child of God, and we all have a Heavenly Father, and we can all relate to the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And so just a few things this morning that we can notice the love of our Heavenly Father contrasted or compared with our earthly father. First of all, we notice that the father gave his son the freedom to choose. Even though the son's actions were impulsive, if you will, the father didn't stand in his way here. He let him make the decision that he wanted to make. He respected his son's independence enough to let him choose his own way. Even if it was the wrong way, he basically chose his own destiny here. And there's a lot of times in my life I can think I was sitting down there before the service. It's easy for me to pull up times in my head where my father has let me make bad decisions, and not because he thought that was the right decision. As a father now, I understand he was letting me learn the hard way. There's times where my children will want to make decisions. And it's not like I let them run out in traffic. I don't say, well, you know, this morning we were on the way in and we were at Quick Trip and Thea is walking next to me on the sidewalk and she's not holding my hand and she just steps off out into the parking lot. And there's a guy coming in and he's turning in to park there. And thankfully, he just stopped and lets her walk across. And I'm trying to grab her hand and walk to the truck. And I got there and he rolled down his window in his lap and he said, "Happy Father's Day, man." And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a full-time job. But that's not me letting her make her own decisions and letting her learn the hard way. I don't want her to get run over by a truck. But there are things that she does, all of my children do, but Thea in particular, that she wants to do something. And there are times where I say, "Okay, have at it, buddy. You know, you're gonna wish that you hadn't." And it almost seems like if you tell her that she should do something, she wants to do the complete opposite. Not almost. That's exactly what she's like. You can say that dirt on the ground probably tastes really, really bad. And she will say, "No, it doesn't. Dad, watch." And she'll pick up some dirt and eat it. And if I'm not exaggerating, look at her mother. That's exactly how Thea is. So I'm learning how to parent her. You know, if I want her to do well, I'll tell her, "I bet you can't finish your schoolwork today." And I bet that's how she gets her schoolwork done when she gets older. And you laugh, but you know it's true. So anyways, I don't know how we got off on that. I'm just at the beginning here. I'm already sidetracked. So the father here let his son choose. I don't think I would be that way. If Lucy came to me and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now. I want you to sell your company that's named after me, and I want half of the profits," I would tell her to get lost, first of all. Second of all, if that all happened, I would be very particular about the way that she spent that money. But this father here, he let the son make his own decisions. He chose his own destiny, regardless of whether they were right or not, and he dealt with the consequences. The same thing with our Heavenly Father. We have free will. We have it as the ability to choose to do the right thing. Now, we all know what the right thing is to do. And this father here, through love, let his son make a decision that he knew was going to hurt him and knew was going to hurt the family. Our Heavenly Father does the exact same thing. We know the difference between right and wrong. And in love, our Heavenly Father gives us the choice. If we didn't have a choice, then it wouldn't be love. I'm amazed. I hear people say that stuff, and you see people post online a lot now that if God really loved us, why would he send people to hell? Well, that's not God's not sending anybody to hell. If he didn't give us a choice, then it wouldn't be love. It wouldn't be our decision to love him and to decide to serve him with our life. We have to have a choice to do the right thing. Right now, Thea does not have a choice whether we go to church on Sunday morning. So it's not like she's some super Christian right now saying, you see her at church every Sunday morning. You don't say, "Well, she's a upstanding Christian." No, you know that her mother kicks her out of bed in the morning and says, "Get dressed, we're going to church Sunday morning." Now, when she's 25 years old and she's in church every Sunday and serving the Lord with her life, well, then you can say she's making a good decision. But right now, it's not her decision to make. Our Heavenly Father gives us the opportunity to decide to serve him. Now, we can obviously make the right decision or the wrong decision. This young man here, the first son, made the wrong decision. But the father loved him in spite of his loss. We know that he came back to his father. He came back, and what did his father do? He went running to meet him and to greet him and fell on him and kissed his neck. He was happy to see him. And again, the second son, when he wouldn't go in, the father came out in love to find out what the issue was. Our Heavenly Father loves us even when we choose to reject him. There have been countless times in my life where I've made the wrong decision, gone the wrong path, done something that I know in my heart is the wrong thing to do. But my Heavenly Father, much like my earthly father, doesn't just write me off. He doesn't say, oh, you know what? I taught you better than that. You know that you shouldn't be doing that. And so now I don't love you anymore. That's not how it goes. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us in spite of ourselves, in spite of the decisions that we make, in spite of our decisions to go completely opposite to the training and the teaching that we have in God's Word for us to do the right thing. He loves us, just like this father here in the story of the prodigal son. Everything the son he had, another thing we can see here, everything the son had was given to him by the father. The son could not have even left his father's house had it not been for the provision of his father. His dad gave him everything he had. If his dad didn't divide the portion of his inheritance to him, he wouldn't have had the money to go to a far country. He wouldn't have had the money to go and do the wrong thing. Everything he had was because of him. And it's the same thing in our lives. Our very lives, our families, our health, they're all things that are given to us by God. The ability that we have to do the wrong thing is given to us by God. Everything we have is provided for us by God. I was just talking to a preacher a little bit earlier about our business, and we've landed a couple of jobs that we're excited about. And I could get up in the morning and I could say, boy, I'm really excited about the business that I've built. I'm really excited about the things that I've done to get us to this point. But you know that that's true. Everything that I have has been given to me by God. My ability to get out of bed in the morning and walk across the floor has been given to me by God. My health to be able to go to work and do those jobs has been given to me by God. Now, for us to get to the point where we say, you know what, I've got this, God, I'm okay, is a bad place to be. Our Heavenly Father gives us everything that we need to live, even if we're going to go make the wrong decisions. Everything in our life has been given to us by our Heavenly Father. Just like this first son here, everything he had was provided for him by his father. And the father took nothing back in spite of his son's selfish behavior. He didn't say, listen, and I think everybody in this room would probably say he would have the right to say, yeah, you can be a servant. You can live out with a servant in the servant's quarters, but you're not getting anything else. No, he welcomed him back as a son. And how many times have we gone off into sin in our life? We've made the wrong decisions. We decide to do something that we shouldn't. And we finally decide to get right. And we come back to God. And God welcomes us back with open arms, just like this father here. God divided the riches of his kingdom amongst all of us. One day, when we step into heaven, we will receive the riches of God's kingdom. None of that is our doing. Just like this son here, none of what he received was because of his doing. It was all because his father had built something and presented it to us, or presented it to him. And it will be the same way with us. The similarities between our Heavenly Father and this father here just go on and on and on and on. Next, we notice the circumstances of life bring about the need for a father. The circumstances of life bring about the need for the father. When the son's life was at its lowest, his need for the father was the greatest. I'm sure he needed his father from day to day when he was living there on the farm, when he was helping him raise sheep or whatever kind of crops that they raised. He needed his father's advice. He needed his father's instruction growing up. He needed his father's money to eat and to buy clothes. He needed all of those things. But when he really needed his father, when he was at his lowest, when he was off in a far country, and he had spent all of his money, he had spent all of the goodwill that he had bought with that money. His friends had left. Nobody wanted to talk to him anymore. And he was working for a foreigner, feeding pigs, and hungry to the point that he was going to eat the pig's food. That's a low place to be. What does the Bible say? He came to himself. He remembered his father. He remembered his home. He remembered where he was from. He remembered that even the servants lived better than the way that he was living right now. And his lowest point brought him to his greatest need. And we are no different than that young man. Our need for God is the most apparent at the lowest points of our life. I think everybody in this room can relate to that, that there's been times where we've been just low. We've just been desperate. We've been hurt. We've been in pain. We've suffered some loss of a family member or an issue with something at work or a problem with our own health or issues with our children. The list can go on and on and on. But when we get to those points in our life, I'm embarrassed to say how many times I've not been paying attention to God the way that I should. And then God brings me to my knees. And what I have nothing to do but to just turn to God. That's what happened to this young man here. We get to points in our life. How much better would it be if we would just depend on God all the time? All the time. And God wouldn't have to run me into brick walls for me to turn around and spend time with Him. If I could just spend time with Him like I should day in and day out, over and over and over, and not have to come to a hard place in life and realize, oh, I need God here. I should pray about this issue. This son, if he had been thinking about his father and thinking about this family and his upbringing and where he was from the entire time, he would not have ended up in a foreigner's field feeding pigs wanting to eat their food. And if we could keep our mind right and on the right direction and on the right track, we wouldn't get, obviously there are hard times in our life, we go through difficulties, but we wouldn't get so far from God that we realize, oh, I better turn back to God. I better turn to God in this difficult situation here. The son was left with nothing but the memory of his father's generosity, which is a reminder for us of God's grace and his provision, which are never far from us. We were just speaking on Wednesday night about how God's mercies are new every morning. God, his provision and things that we need are never farther away than us getting on our knees and praying for him. We're never out of God's reach. We're never to a point in our life where God can't help us. And the father here made provision for his servants. God provides for those who serve him faithfully. He thought back to his childhood, his home, and he knew that his father took care of those servants, that it was a good life. It was a place that was safe. It was a place that was desirable to live, even for the servants. It's the same thing in Christianity. If we're serving God, if we're doing what we should, God will bless us. He makes provision for those who serve him and care for the needs of the church and of the kingdom of God. Next, we notice a child in need wants the love of his father. A child in need wants the love of his father. It's very easy to see a sinner who is broken realizes his need for the love of his heavenly father or the creator, even if he's not a Christian. He realizes that. This son here realized he couldn't make it on his own. He couldn't. I can remember growing up, we used to do a lot of, my dad did a lot of concrete work and forming concrete, and I would help him. And there were times where I thought, boy, I'm going to be good at this. My dad's not here. I'll just do something on my own here. And I would try forming up some concrete and do a horrible job, or it would take me way longer than it should have. And then I can remember one time in particular, I was 14 or 15 years old, that was going on. I was going to work with my dad, and my mom liked to send me to work with my dad for obvious reasons, because she didn't want me around, I guess. I don't know. She laughs like that's not true, but you all know that's true. I'm not saying it's her fault. I was, difficult probably, but anyways, I was at work, and my dad was on the other end of it. It was a long job site, and I had to go down to one end and work with a couple guys and then come back, and it took me forever to form up this little bitty concrete header. It's over on 135th Street. We put pavers in, and you had to put a little monolithic curb at one end. He was like, go down there and form that up. It should take me 5 minutes. I don't know. 10 minutes, maybe. I think I was down there for like 2 hours. And I came back up, and they had the other ones all but done. And I pulled up, and I see my dad up there by himself, just bent over, just going to town, just form this up. I think I watched him form one up by myself in 5 minutes there, just looking at him. And I remember thinking, holy cow, I don't know what I'm doing. My dad knows how to do this way better than me. But at the moment before that, I thought I could do this on my own. I've seen my dad do it. I've heard him tell people how to do it. He's actually showed me how to do it, and I've helped him do it. So I could probably do it on my own. That's not the case. I was just a little kid and didn't know what I was doing. But I realized that I could not have done it on my own. And that's a simple illustration, but the same thing happens in our life. How often do we get to the point where we think, I got this, I'm okay. Lord, it's simple. I've raised children. I've had kids for years. I'll be okay raising these kids and doing things the way that I think I should do it. I don't need to go to the Word of God to figure out how to handle this issue. I don't need to ask advice from the preacher or somebody else who's raised godly children to help me to do it. I'll just do it on my own. And then what happens? We have no idea what we're doing. Lucy was 10 years old by the time we had Thea, right? And you'd like to think that I had figured out how to raise toddlers. And then Thea comes along and I realize, what am I? I have no idea what I'm doing with this. What am I doing wrong? And now Winnie is starting to get kind of rowdy, too. She's, you can laugh, but it's true. She's being taught by Thea, I think. But I think, man, I should be an expert. I got Lucy to 10 years old, and she's well behaved and respectable and pretty and all those things that are my doing, right? And then the other two come along, and I realize, Lord, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. I should go to somebody who's done this before and ask for advice. I can't make it on my own. But it takes something like that to realize that you don't know what you're doing. Why does it take something like that? Why couldn't I have just started day one with Thea saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me to raise this child instead of running into brick walls and realizing, oh, what I did with Lucy doesn't work with Thea. The way that we discipline Lucy does not work to discipline Thea. Or the way that we got Lucy to eat vegetables doesn't work with Thea. Nothing works with Thea that works with Lucy. And I have to learn those things the hard way. We have to learn that we can't do it on our own. The ways of the son's life had led to his ruin. We can ruin our lives real easy. Several times in my life, I've come close to ruining my life. Why? Because I'm trying to do it on my own. But a broken sinner realizes his need for the love of the Creator. And as children of God, when we are broken, when we make mistakes, we realize, oh, I can't do it on my own. Or we should realize that. Next, we notice the father eagerly sought the return of his son. And the comparison here between our Heavenly Father is obvious. The father ran to his son as he saw him in the distance. The Bible doesn't say he had somebody else out watching for him and said, let me know when he comes back and we'll figure out what to do with him. No, he was watching for him. And when he saw him down the road, the Bible says he ran to him. He couldn't wait for him to get there. Why? He wanted him back. He wanted him to feel welcomed and loved and wanted him to know that he was welcomed back into his arms. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. No matter how far we run from God, no matter how far we go the opposite direction, God, if you're a child of God, He's not just going to let you go. He's not just going to listen, I'm not going to just let Thea walk off into the parking lot at Quick Trip. Even though it's the wrong direction, and even though I think she should know better, she's 3 years old and acts like she knows everything, should know better. I'm just going to let her go. No. I'm going to chase after her, even if she's doing the wrong thing. I want to keep her safe and protect her. And our Heavenly Father does not want us just going off into the world willy-nilly, hurting ourselves. And then when we do decide to return to the fold, when we do decide to do what God wants us to do with our life and come back to Him and repent and seek forgiveness, He's there with open arms waiting and ready for us to return, just like this father here in the story. The father had compassion. He could have welcomed him back and said, okay, welcome home. Now you got to go back to work. We're not doing anything special for you. And I think everybody would say, well, at least he welcomed him back. It's better than where he was. He was out feeding pigs and hungry and destitute and lost. And now he's got a place to at least pillow his head at night and stay out of the rain and food to eat. But he didn't do that. The Bible says he had compassion on him. He was moved. He felt bad for his son and wanted him to experience the benefits of the life that he had before. And our Heavenly Father is exactly the same. He has compassion on us. We could just receive the gift of salvation and it could just be fire insurance. Just God's keeping us out of hell. The rest of it's up to us. No, but our Heavenly Father guides us and cares for us throughout the rest of our entire life. meets our needs, gives us direction. Everything that we need can be cared for by reading the Word of God and following His leading and direction. God has compassion on us and cares for us. If it was up to me, if I was God, I would not be as kind to me as God has been to me. I would not have as much compassion. God isn't holding a grudge against me for the mistakes that I've made in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. This son here did not expect, I think, the welcome that he got. But he was thankful for it, for the compassion that his father has. And our Heavenly Father has the same type of compassion for us. This father showed love in spite of his son's failures. In spite of everything that he did against his father, and drug his father's name through the mud, and spent all of his father's money, and ruined his reputation, and damaged everything that his father had built for him, his father still showed him love. There's been times in my life where I have drug my family's name through the mud, where I've made mistakes, where I've done things wrong, and my father's never said, "You know what, James, that is a bridge too far. That's the last straw. I don't love you anymore. I don't want you to be associated with my family or my name." He very well could have. There's been times in my life where I'm sure he's not been very proud of the things that I've done, but he's never said, "You know what, I don't love you anymore. You can't come back to dinner on Sunday afternoons. That's not what we're going to do. You can't be my son anymore." And this father here was the same way, and same as our Heavenly Father. He shows love in spite of his son's failures. This son, though, was repentant. He had a true heartfelt repentance. This is not to say that we can just live however we want because God still loves us. We can just do whatever we want. You know what? God's going to love me. I'm already saved. I'm a child of God. And if I'll do what I want, and then in 10 years, when I'm done living the way that I want to live, then I'll go back to God. And because He's loving and compassionate, He'll accept me and everything will be fine. No, that's not true repentance. This young man had come to his lowest point and realized, I need my Father. I need the love and the compassion and the care of my Father. And he repented and went home. He didn't go home and say, "Dad, I'm back. Can we get back to the way things were?" No, he said, "Dad, I know that I've messed up. I know that I've made mistakes. I know that I've ruined what you've built for me here. And if you will just at least let me sleep in the bunkhouse with the servants and eat their food, that's all I'm asking." He wasn't asking to be accepted back into the father's family as a son. Now, the father obviously didn't want to hear anything about that, and said, "No, you're my son. Let's put a ring back on your finger. We're going to kill the fatted calf. We're having a party. Thank you for coming home. I love you. I want you to be restored to the position that you were before." But the son was repentant. He wasn't flipping about it. He wasn't lackadaisical about his return. He knew he had messed up. And we cannot just come back to God and say, "Hey, God, I'm back. I know I've been living in sin for 2 years and just running the opposite direction, but I'm back now. So let's get back to business the way that..." No. We have to repent. We have to confess. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we return to God. The father wiped his slate clean. Even though the son had squandered everything the father gave him, he gave him the best of everything when he came back. He didn't hold grudges against him. One of the things that I've had to learn with Thea that I didn't have to worry about with Lucy is, for whatever reason, the Thea gets to me. And when I have to discipline her, I do not like it. I didn't like spanking Lucy. That came out really wrong. But it bothers me. I don't like spanking her. I don't like taking things from her or causing her to not be happy. I don't like that. But when it's done, she's fine. Sometimes she's in a better mood after it's done than if she is before. And she's fine. She just wants to go play. She wants to go, "Dad, let's go on a walk and throw rocks in the river." That's what she likes to do. And she wants to do that. But man, it still bothers me. And it takes me a little bit to get over it. And I don't want to like let it draw out. And I need to learn to be done with it as well. But our Heavenly Father doesn't hold grudges like that. He doesn't say, "Yeah, I know you messed up, and even though you repented, there's still going to be some time here where I'm going to be upset at you." No, the Bible says this father here wiped the slate clean, and our Heavenly Father does the same thing. The redemption of the son was a time of joyous celebration. They had a party. He didn't make it a quiet thing when his son came back to the fold. He didn't say, all right, you can come home. We're going to try to minimize the damage here. We're not posting anything about it on Facebook right now. You need to delete your Twitter account. And we're not going to tell anybody you're home. We're just going to let you kind of ease back into things. In about 6 months, maybe we'll let you start going out and taking the work truck into town to get feed or whatever they did. He didn't say that. No, he had a party. He wanted everybody to know that his son was home. He said, kill the fatted calf. Get all the servants in here. Get everybody we know. We're having a party. Why? They were celebrating over somebody who was had been the wrong, but now they're back right. And it's the same thing in heaven. The Bible says the angels rejoice for the lost who are found. The Bible says they rejoice over a sinner who comes to heaven or comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They rejoice over that. This son was restored and he was placed back to a position of honor. And again, if we're truly repentant, if we repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sins, as the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then we can be restored to the position of honor at the table. Finally, we notice here that not even the accuser can waver the Father's love. God's love is stronger than all of life's troubles. No matter what you're going through, no matter what direction you've gone with your life, no matter who you've wronged, God's love is stronger than all of those things. No matter the heartache that you're going through, again, maybe you have an issue with your health, or maybe you've lost a loved one, or you have a financial difficulty, something that makes you realize that you need the Father's help, God's love is stronger than everything that we can throw at him. There's nothing that this young man coming home, there's nothing he could have told his father that would have been able to overcome the Father's love for him. Nothing. I mean, he had done everything you could do wrong, and his father didn't care. I'm sure his father heard stories of his son being out and doing things that he shouldn't. I'm sure news got back to him eventually. I'm sure it broke his father's heart. He knew a lot of the things that had happened, but nothing he could do would overcome the Father's love for him. And it's the same with us and our Heavenly Father. Nothing we can do is going to make him say, I can't fix that problem. God always holds on to us. Even when we let go, even when we do the wrong thing, even when we go the wrong direction, God always cares for us. And finally, God's love never fades. The Bible doesn't say how long this son was gone. And there's, I don't want to say a big debate about it, but there's all kinds of different theories, and I don't know how any of them have any credibility, but I read where one guy said, it was probably about 6 months because that's about how much money that guy would have had to live. I've heard other people read one guy that said it was probably 2 years. Some people say up to 5 years. Nobody knows. But even if it was 10 years, that father was still standing out there waiting for his son. Even if you've been gone from the fold, if you will, even if you've turned your back on God, even if you've been running from God for a long, long, long time, God still loves you. His love never fades. He's still standing by the doorpost waiting for you to return with open arms to accept you, to accept your repentance and grant forgiveness and restore you to a place of honor at the table. We're never going to get to a point in our life where we don't need our Heavenly Father. This young man here thought he didn't need him for a long time and then realized the necessity for his father in his life. And we may realize one day that we need our Heavenly Father. Maybe you're not running from God. Maybe we're just not depending on God like we need to. Our Heavenly Father is waiting for us with open arms, ready to accept us back into the fold. We can never get to the point, again, where we're too far away from God to return to Him. There's a story that I think I've probably used it before, but I love this story. There's a Spanish story of a father who, and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for months and months and months to no avail. Finally, in the last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And the ad read this: Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, he showed up and there were 800 men named Paco there looking for the forgiveness and the love from their fathers. The world needs fathers.
Amen.
The world needs love of their fathers. We can't do without fathers. But more than that, more than we need our earthly father, more than we need the love and direction and instruction and care of our earthly father, we need our heavenly father. It's so easy for us to go about our day and not depend and lean on him because it's not physically in front of us. We can't pick up our cell phone and text him. But without his hand of protection over us, we wouldn't make it out the front door. We need the Father's love in our life. May we never get to the point where we forget that and just do what we want without it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your care and your protection over us, even when we don't realize what's going on. Lord, I pray that you would help us to depend on you, to look to you, and to turn to you first in every situation, Lord, to have a good and healthy and strong relationship with you in every way possible. Give us a good service. I'll be with the preacher as he brings a message later today. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. We are dismissed.